You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host, Keelan Harvey, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts, Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Well, welcome back to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 1st show. I am your host, Tina Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
Your local mortgage experts. It's a great day to talk money, and that's what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, so that you can have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're listening to our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that we have on the show. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, we have Patty Hill of John L. Scott, How the Realtors Save You Money. Patty, thank you so much for coming back and visiting us in studio.
Thanks for having me, Tina.
Yeah, a little bit about Patty. Patty is office leader at the Seattle Northwest office for John L. Scott. Patty has been chosen by Seattle Magazine as 5-star best in client satisfaction real estate agent for 2005 through 2015 and has her designation for senior real estate specialist working in Boomers and beyond. E-Pro designation from National Association of Realtors and awarded Realtor of the Year 2014 Seattle King County Realtors, which is a huge, huge honor. And I was actually there that night, Patty. I was so proud of you because what an amazing accomplishment. And what she's going to share with us today is actually tied to what she does in the real estate space. Patty is a member of National Association of Realtors, member of Northwest Multiple Listing Services, member of Washington Association of Realtors, and member of Windermere Foundation, dedicating to helping homeless and low-income families. She is also the 2016 president of Seattle King County Association of Realtors.
So, Patty, Tina and I know that you are very involved with the advocacy for the Realtor Association. Let's start out with the B&O tax that didn't pass. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So, we basically got the realtors exempted from the bill in Washington State. We don't get the small business designation as far as taxes are concerned mm-hmm. for our state. And so our lobbyist went in there and said, hey, we don't get this, so don't up our B&O tax by 20%. And the legislators agreed Yay. With us, and so
Thank
we were
goodness.
Exempt from that. Yeah,
because that was a big conversation that was happening around the real estate. And I just, as Keelan said, I mean, it's just something really to point out. Somebody has to be behind the scenes and fighting and doing things and giving their time. And this is not a paid position. It's a voluntary space that you really commit and are passionate about, not just helping real estate agents in their rights, but helping consumers as well. So I wanted to give that shout out there, Patty. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, is this going to come up again in the future?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The legislature is always looking for new taxes. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to keep being there and in their ear and explaining our side of why not.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll just keep our good record going.
Yes.
Patty, what kind of impact would this have on real estate agents?
Well, it's a 20% increase on your B&O tax.
That's a good chunk.
Well, yeah, it can be. It sometimes, and when we have a lower margin, mm-hmm. the B&O tax doesn't seem to be that big. But when you add it up, it can be as much as $1,000 to $10,000 a year, depending yeah. on the agent. So it's a good savings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Patty, let's talk about the real estate excise tax and what happened with this.
Well, the state legislature wanted to up the real estate excise tax on everyone.
Yes.
And what they initially were going to do was give a break to any sale that was under $250,000, which in Washington State is very few.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So what we came up with, and it was a compromise. We wrote what we wanted. They wrote what they wanted. And we literally sat down at the table with them, with
wow.
the legislators and the finance committee, and said, how about if we do this graduated, marginalized tax,
yes.
real estate tax? So up to the first $500,000, your real estate tax actually goes down.
Yes.
So in our area, real estate excise tax, which we call the REIT,
uh-huh.
Is 1.78%.
Yes.
So if it's $500,000 or less now, the sale, it's going to be 1.6%.
Okay.
Up to $1.5 million, it's going to stay at the 1.78%.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and because it's marginalized, so it's the first 500,000 is 1.6, and then the second million, if you're $1.5 million, is going to be 1.78.
Yep.
So then after that,
and then over that,
it's 3% up to 3 million, and then over 3 million, it's 3.25%.
Yeah.
So what this does is it was a compromise because we basically kind of killed the commercial guys, because their people are going to have to pay a higher rate because there's so much commercial in the greater Seattle area that's over $3 billion.
So they're really taking the hit have that. They're paying the money on that end. And remember, again, if you're selling a house and it's $3 million, that one and a half, your first $500, then the one and a half, and then the three, so you're not paying that higher tax on the entire amount.
They get the marginalized tax also.
Yes.
But still.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking a $12 million building, they're going to have
quite a little bit
they're
of an increase there. They're going to pay more. Well, thank you to our commercial people out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Patty, we've heard some talk about National Flood Insurance program that will expire May 31st. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. When this airs, it will be expired. And so what's happening is in the national... It's a whole thing. It passed the House sort of, but it didn't. And then it passed the Senate sort of, but it didn't. So what happens is if the National Flood Insurance Program is not in place, then you guys know better than anybody. Mm-hmm. If flood insurance is required on a home and you need to do a federal loan, it can't happen.
No.
Mm-hmm. But if there are flood claims against the flood insurance program, they can still pay those claims up to the amount of money that's there.
Okay.
Once that money's gone, then they can't pay claims anymore. And we're seeing the huge tornadoes and floods and stuff all through Central America, United States.
Yes.
And so it's going to be interesting. I am the fancy name federal political coordinator for Patty Murray from the Realtor Association.
Okay.
I just saw her a couple days ago, and we were talking about flood insurance, and she said we're doing our best. So we're hoping that we can at least get another little extension. That seems to be how the legislature works. They give us 5 month, 6 month extensions. What we'd like to see is a 5 year program. What some of the people in the legislature would like to see is that it become privatized, which I get, but you can't do that in one day. We have to come up with some sort of a system that's going to allow that to happen and maybe still have some federal help, but not 100%.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know it's still a work in progress.
Right. I talked to, it did expire a few years ago, and I talked to a friend of mine from Oregon who was trying to sell a waterfront property there. And the flood insurance for her was $69,000 a year.
Oh, my God.
I know. So,
and the difference from it is really, you can see that it adds an extra $100 a month to someone's payment. You can see it adds an extra couple, $300 a month of payment. And in this scenario, $68,000 a year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Patty, let's shift over to how the fair housing laws improved opportunities for employment, education, and healthy communities.
Well, as we know, fair housing was not a thing 50 years ago, and now it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it improves opportunities for employment, education, and makes healthy communities. So the Realtors Code of Ethics has included, I think it was about 10 years ago, that we included the LGBTQ community in our Code of Ethics.
Yes.
So that we professionally will help anyone get a home anywhere.
Yes.
The National Equity or Equality Act didn't include that. So we've asked the legislature to include that wording in the Equality Act, and it has passed the House.
Okay.
So I think the Senate will come soon, and so that we can then say we're for everyone.
Yes.
Living in housing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. How are we doing overall in Washington State here with all this?
Well, yeah. We do well here, but Washington State, and because I'm involved in the National Association, I get to hear a lot of different things that are going on with different states, and I feel like Washington, we really are on top of things a lot better than most of the other states.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're doing well.
So, Patty, let's shift over to condos and let's talk about before what we were facing when it came to issues with building new construction in the condo arena.
So within the first 4 years of a new condo being built, it was sort of required that you have what they called an envelope study, mm-hmm. where they looked at the how the building was built. And at that time, up until now, the homeowners association would have to have this done, and then they would have to sue the builder.
Mm-hmm.
And the builder didn't have the opportunity to come in and fix those things. It was just going to be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
There was one particular building at the north end of Lake Union that was sued for $21 million. The actual fix was about $12 million. The rest of it kind of went to the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make this a little more equitable for everyone, oh, also the Homeowners Association board was on the hook. If they didn't sue, then they could be held personally responsible for anything.
That's a whole other show on how this all happened, but yes.
Yes. So now we've been given the opportunity to have still have the inspection done. Also before, if there was a code law that had changed, they were required to bring it up to code, mm-hmm. which is silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was built to code the year it was built.
Yes.
So that's gone. Mm-hmm. And then also the Homeowners Association has protected the board. Yeah.
Those costs just seem so out of context. That's mm-hmm. unbelievable. And just like double the cost just on people getting their piece.
Mm-hmm. So the condo reform will take care of the Homeowners Association. There still can be lawsuits. I mean, mm-hmm. if it's really bad building, then yeah, let's take care of that. But it's just a little more equitable for everyone. And it's still not perfect. We'll still be working on it. And we had a couple other bills that went along with it, kind of hand in hand, that didn't even get out of committee. One of them didn't get out of committee. One didn't pass. So mm-hmm. we still have more work to do.
Yeah, but it's great to see that we've had some, you guys have had real success there in Olympia.
Uh-huh.
So what do you see that this, now that the Condo Reform Act did pass, what do you see that happening and changing with condos?
Well, the crystal ball's a little foggy.
Okay.
But what I'd like to see and what I think I'm going to see is a lot of apartment buildings were built in the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're going to see some conversions.
Okay.
Because they built those apartment buildings to kind of condo standards.
Uh-huh.
So the conversion is going to be easy. A person that owns the apartment building is going to say, okay, I've been getting my rent. I'm good. I don't want to be a landlord anymore. And they can sell it individual units as condos and walk away from it that way. I think we'll see more of that. And we're also going to see some building.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed pretty sudden when the condo building stopped, Patty. What do you see for the future in the condo market in general?
You know, it's interesting. Condos are kind of their own animal. They mm-hmm. they go up, they go down. Now, I'm seeing them sit. But we're seeing some amazing new condo buildings going up in downtown Seattle. One is called First Light, which is already 68% sold, and it's not going to be done till 2022 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's the price range in that?
Oh, not low.
Yeah. That's what we've seen is all the new construction and the condos have been just like, you know, the really high end. So hopefully we'll see
really
some more
end.
Affordable things come into the market for those first time homebuyers.
Yeah.
Well, Patty, thank you so much for coming back in. And thank you again for everything that you do in Olympia and anybody that wants to go up for Hill Day. I tell you, it's quite an experience.
It is really fun. And you're
really
all
is.
Invited.
Everybody
Everyone's
is
invited.
Yep. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, what do you need to know about tax-deferred exchanges? Kyle Williams of IPX 1031, right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.